a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good afternoon and welcome to the House Appropriations. We're going to have some bill hearings this afternoon. We'd greet our internet listeners here. Please turn off your cell phones if you have them turned up. The Secretary, will you call the roll?
Dennert?
Here.
Wismer?
Here.
Bolin?
Here.
Ramkema?
Here.
Dryden?
Here.
White?
Here.
Dielstra?
Here.
Carson?
Here.
Wink?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Okay, we do have a quorum. We have a representative that needs to get to a city council meeting later on, and so we're going to move HB 1211 up on the top of the schedule, top of the calendar. And we have had testimony on this, and so I would open up to any further discussion or questions that any of the committee members may have. Seeing none, I would call for action on the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Carson.
I would make a motion to move 1211 to the 41st day.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
Representative Bowman seconded. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Secretary, call the vote.
Dennert?
No.
Wismer?
No.
Bolin?
Yes.
Ramkema? No. Dryden?
No.
White?
No.
Dielstra?
Aye.
Carson?
Yes.
Wink?
Aye.
Bolin?
Aye.
4 yeas, 5 nays.
Motion fails. Is there another motion? Yes.
Sorry.
We have a motion to pass and a second on the floor. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Secretary, call the vote.
Dennert?
Aye.
Wismer?
Aye.
Bolin?
No.
Ramkema?
No.
Dryden?
Aye.
White?
Aye.
Dielstra?
Nay.
Carson?
Pass
Wink?
No.
4 yeas, 5 nays.
Motion fails.
Mr.
Yes, Representative. I'm sorry, repeat it.
A motion to move to the floor with no recommendation.
Oh, you said the Senate floor. I was going to say we're in the House.
I don't think so, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to wait for a second.
Okay, we have a motion to move it to the floor without a recommendation and a second. Any discussion? Can you give us some history on this, Representative?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know that sometimes when there's a smoke out, it'll come out, do not pass, then you have to work on striking the knot. But I think with no recommendation, if we would move it to the floor, we'd have the discussion on the floor and take that action that way. Is that right, Staff Terry? I mean, with no recommendation, you'd just be like a regular bill, but there would not be supported by the Appropriations Committee is the way I would understand it. And I think this seems to have some consideration. We flipped from a 41st day. It couldn't pass. Then we went to a due pass, and it couldn't pass. So that'd be my thought.
Okay.
That's why I made the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Secretary, you call the vote.
Dennert?
Aye.
Wismer?
Aye.
Bolin?
No.
Ramkema?
Aye.
Dryden?
Aye.
White? Dielstra?
Aye.
Carson?
No.
Wink?
Aye.
6 yeas, 3 nays.
Motion passes. Go to the floor without recommendation. Okay. We move back up to HB 1123. I would call for proponents for House Bill 1123.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I have a couple of handouts, if I might. Just going to punch them, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I didn't even think about it. It's been a long time since I've been before appropriation. I forgot my protocol. Sorry.
Okay, I was just didn't know where she went. Do you need for us to have these in
place? Let me go ahead because of time. I can summarize for you what I need to do. I bring you this bill as a legislator, but I bring it to you on behalf of constituents who are state employees. And these are state employees who have a desire to improve their lot in life and their skills and enhance their abilities to perform their particular jobs for state government. Why the program? Mr. Chairman, in 1986, the legislature passed a tuition reduction program for state employees. That particular piece of legislation was then placed in code under the personnel state employee section of the code rather than the public universities. It was also a bill that was sponsored by those people who represented this area of the state at that point in time. So it was clear to me that the intent was to provide for all state employees a tuition reduction program if they take additional coursework and try to enhance their job skills and job performances. Today, the employees may go to one of the campuses of the public universities, the six residential campuses, and get a one-half tuition reduction of the state support tuition rate. And they pay the other half, and they pay all the mandatory fees. State employees who are not in locations where they can take advantage of the six residential campuses have sought to use this provision in the law, but have failed to do so because the other locations for receiving education have not been state-supported educational sites or state-supported if you are dealing with distance education or online education. And on the handout that you have, I have a series of comments from employees who have sought to take advantage of the program that is in statute without success, and you can see their frustration by reading their comments. What I am attempting to do with this bill is to kind of bring the situation into alignment with the current delivery of higher educational services in the state. Since 86, we now have educational centers in Rapid City, Pierre, and Sioux Falls. The fastest growing part of the Regento system in terms of delivery is the online distance education as it is appropriate. And what I would like to do is to be able to give those students or those state employees who are not in the locations of the universities the opportunity to enhance their skills, take the additional coursework by giving them the same value that you get if you go to the main campuses. And that value would be they would pay one half of the state support tuition rate plus the value of the mandatory fees. So they would be paying in Pierre the same thing that you pay if you went to Brookings or Vermillion. In the House Education Committee, Mr. Chairman, this bill was heard, and we had extensive testimony, which we're not going to repeat for the appropriators. But let me just summarize and share with you who testified. And there is a handout here, which just simply shows you that in the House Education Committee, we had testimony from Jack Warner, the Board of Regents, Amanda Schmuchteljen, a student who is an employee in the auditor's office, who described her experiences in trying to get her education while here in Pierre and what it was costing her in terms of the funds required relative to what it would be if she had gone to one of the main campuses. We had testimony from Rod Woodburn in the Capital University Center here in Pierre. We had testimony from Mark Lee. We had testimony from the state employees organizations. And most of those are in the room, and I'm sure would be more than happy to answer questions if you have substantive questions for them. The bill passed out of House Education on a 14-0 vote. So I think I can report fairly to you that the committee, the Education Committee, thought the substance of the bill was appropriate, but wanted to refer to you because it does have a financial implication. Our estimates is that it would cost about $609,000 to replenish the funds which the student would not be paying and which we would be discounting through this program. It is my intent, Mr. Chairman, to ask you to pass the bill so that we can set the policy framework for this, and then to come back and have dialogue with you as you put the general bill together and ask for your consideration of putting those dollars into the general bill at the appropriate time. I'd be glad to one final thing, if I might. There is a map attached to the handout, and I would ask you to review that map because it is a map of where state employees are located. And you can see that they are located all over the state in everybody's district. And by giving those people the chance to take online courses if they're not close to a center, as well as have access to one of those centers, would be viable to a large number of our state employees and, I think, enhance our workforce. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd certainly be glad to answer questions.
I think I'm going to postpone the questions unless there's another. Here. We'll try and get more testimony if indeed there are people that want to testify. Are there any other proponents for House Bill 1123? Are there any other proponents for House Bill 1123? Seeing none, are there any opponents for House Bill 1123? Any opponents for House Bill 1123? Seeing none, I would open up the committee for questions. Are there any questions regarding what Representative Perry conveyed to us? Representative Boland.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for Mr. Perry, Representative Perry. The students who would be able to, individuals wanted to exercise this benefit, does this apply just at, say, the six Regental schools, or does it apply everywhere? And would it apply at the University Center in Sioux Falls, the facility in Rapid City, other, and there's one in Pierre, I understand?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, President Boland, today, without this bill, it only applies to Vermilion, Brookings, Madison, Aberdeen, Spearfish, and School of Mines in Rapid. With this bill, it would also apply to the East River Center in Rapid City, the Sioux Falls Center in Sioux Falls, the Pierre Capital University Center here, and all of the online distance education as well. So I think the answer, short answer, is yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Carson.
Sir, excuse me, if you were taking Biology 101 at South Dakota State and you were taking biology and another student was taking Biology 101 at Sioux Falls Campus Center, what would approximately be the difference in the tuition?
Excellent question. Today, the undergraduate on campus pays $183.15. If you take that at an off-campus site in Pierre, you would pay $277 for the same credit hour.
Follow up.
Go ahead.
Online would be the $277.
Online would be $277. That is correct.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions, Professor Wisman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Perry, what assumptions were used in the estimated cost? Did you look at the current number of students and assume that it would double, or what?
Representative Wisner, I asked the Board of Regents to put that together, and Monty Kramer is here, and if I may yield to Monty, you'll get a far better answer.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Kramer, welcome.
Good afternoon. Monty Kramer with the Board of Regents. Representative Perry asked us to do a fiscal analysis on this, and we did just that. We looked at the number of students who are currently participating in the program. Of course, the bill opens it up significantly from just the six university campuses today to online as well as the centers. It's hard to know how many people will take advantage of the program, but we looked at the current number. It's about 3.2% of the state employees who live in those counties that are taking advantage of it today. We took that and we assumed that that would go up, and it would be 5%, and we took 5% of the total state employees that would take advantage of the program. The program does have caps on the number of credit hours that a student can get, and that's six per semester, so that was also part of the calculation. So it does cap the number of hours, and so we came up with a projected cost, as Representative Perry said, of about $600,000 annually.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Carson.
That 3.2%, have you got a hard number that that represents?
Mr. Chairman. Yes, it's 170 employees.
And the 5% represents?
613.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I think either one of you might be able to answer one of these, but it's my understanding that the university campuses in Sioux Falls and Rapid City, on every other student that attends there, don't they pay a full on a self-support type tuition?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman. The only reductions that are currently provided for any students at the centers would be for military personnel, and the reduction is covered by the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs.
Follow-up, I guess. So this would be a deviation from what you've done up to this point with the program at the university centers?
That would be correct. It would mirror what we've done for the veterans. For the National Guard.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, I would open up for discussion. Any comments? Representative Dennert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Clarification, the way the bill is drafted and the way I would understand it, if it passes out of this committee, goes to the floor with no revenue, it'd take a simple majority, and then it would be funded in the General Appropriations Act, and they'd be ongoing. Is that the way I would?
I think that's the intent.
It's the intent.
Further comments? I guess the chair cannot support this because I think that we need to tie policy in with dollars. I can see where the education committee would come out of there because that would be the change of policy. And if we were in a better position financially, I think I could support the policy. But I can't support at this time without having the dollars attached to it. So I would I can't support the bill as it's presented. I just think there's too many questions as far as where the state is financially and where the economy is nationally. And $600,000 is considered a pretty good chunk of change as far as I'm concerned. So any other comments? Yes, Representative Dennert.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I somewhat agree with your analogy of this, and I can understand. Wouldn't the reason, though, that we'd want to amend the general bill and put it in so it would be ongoing and not just a statute every year, is that kind of the analogy I would take from it, Terry, I guess? Would that be right? It would have to go into the general bill to be ongoing, to take place year after year.
Yeah, it has to be funded.
Thank you.
Representative Dryden, do you have a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I fully understand what the request is from Representative Perry, but at this time I can't deviate from the self-support that the university centers are supposed to. When they were built, it was agreed it'd be self-support, and I guess for right now I'm still there. Thank you.
Any other comments? Representative White.
Mr. Chair, I too see that this is an opportunity for young people that have probably the basis for this break in education. And I can understand the cost, but at this point, I guess I would support this bill.
Any other comments? Seeing none, I would call for committee action.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Carson.
I'd make a motion to send 1123 to the 41st day.
We have a motion on the floor for House Bill 1123 to send it to the 41st day. Do we have a second? Representative Bolin. Any more discussion on the motion? The Secretary, will you call the vote?
Stenert.
No.
Wismer. Bolin.
Yes.
Romkema.
Aye.
Dryden.
Aye.
White.
No.
Dielstra. Carson.
Yes.
Wink.
Aye.
Five yeas, three nays, one excused.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Perry. Do we have Representative Liz here? Okay. We'll move down to House Bill 1215. An act to provide funding grants to parents or guardians of students receiving alternative instruction and to make an appropriation therefore. I would ask proponents for House Bill 1215. Welcome, Representative. Introduce yourself to the committee and to the Internet audience.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Brian Liss from District 13 in Sioux Falls. And I would appreciate your help in sending House Bill 1215 to the 41st day. Thank you. If it's not offensive, I have my own committee that I am involved in right now, and I'd appreciate the opportunity to leave immediately if I could.
Okay, I would call for committee action to grant your wish.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion that we send HB 1215 to the 41st day.
Second.
There's a second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Secretary, will you call the vote?
Stenert.
Aye.
Wismer.
Aye.
Bolin.
Aye.
Romkema.
Aye.
Dryden.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Dielstra. Carson.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Eight yeas, one excused.
Motion passes. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
We're going to wait just a little bit. We have a prime sponsor that's in another committee meeting, but while we do that, I think we'll take up action on House Bill 1228, a bill to repeal the sunset concerning tax refunds for new or expanded agricultural facilities and new or expanded business facilities. The prime sponsor came to me earlier today and said he wasn't quite ready, so he would like to have that deferred to this coming Friday. So I think that we will just do that. Okay, so we'll take it off of today's calendar. Until the prime sponsor of the remaining bill comes, I think we'll have a brief recess. Okay, after a brief recess, I think we have a prime sponsor here. So we'll take up House Bill 1225, an act to revise the distribution of earnings from the Education Enhancement Trust Fund and to establish the Teacher Compensation Enhancement Program.
You know, Mr. Chairman, you know, maybe Representative Lucas could inform us a little bit on this issue if we'd want to put him up to speed on it, but I think
we'll take care of his bill first.
Okay.
If you want
right.
to talk to him in personally afterwards, why? Oh,
thank you.
Yeah.
Just said it. He's a technical expert, though.
Welcome, Representative.
Thank you, Chairman Wink and members of the House Appropriations Committee. Larry Lucas, State Representative, District 26A, Mission, South Dakota. I bring to you today House Bill 1225, which is a bill that would propose to look at using some of the earnings that are above the inflationary earnings and growth earnings and also the 4% distribution as defined in South Dakota Codified Law 45-29.2 that would go into an education enhancement fund. First of all, if you look at the bill, the objectives in the bill are the same as what's in the Education Enhancement Fund. Number one, to provide a distribution of 4% of market value from the fund each year to the general fund, providing that the principal isn't invaded. That's currently in our statute right now. The second objective, which is not in statute that I'm proposing in here, is to provide inflationary adjusted growth of the fund and to keep the fund growing over years. The investment council has been doing that, and I would point out they've been doing a very good job of that. They've been using a target of 3% inflationary growth each year. That is not in code. It's something they've been doing. I have no problems with using that 3% inflationary growth, but I think it'd be wise if we'd have that in our statute as well. This bill then would take any earnings over a 16-quarter period, because they do use a 16-quarter average as they figure the inflationary growth, that anything over that, over 16 quarters, then over that 7%, because it'd be a 4 for the distribution to the general fund, and a 3% growth to the fund would then go into the Education Enhancement Trust Fund. So that's defined, or that's calculated or shown in on the second page of the bill, where it talks about the calendar year inflationary rate as established by the South Dakota Investment Council. And that may be based on the annual percent change in the Consumer Price Index, or the 3% that they've been using in past years. If you look at the handout I've been given to you, the long-term expected return of the fund as of June 30th was 6%. So in essence, this would not generate anything to this proposal at this time. But if you look at the last page of the handout, the last 2 years the fund has done quite well. In fiscal year 2011, had a 20% rate of return, and 13.2 in 2010, and then their two prior years were negative due to the recession. And from the investment council, they've shown that the 5-year annualized return is 3.7 and the 9-year annualized return is 5.2. But I feel that we have good times coming in front of us, and if in fact the fund continues to do well, that we ought to be able to reward educators in the fund similarly to the way that the investment council is able to reward its employees. They use a Wall Street type strategy that if the fund does well and if they outperform other funds in the country, their employees are rewarded. I believe that if the fund does well and continues to grow and still can produce to the general fund, that we ought to be able to reward our teachers of South Dakota who have ranked in 50th place in their salary for some 40 years. One of the problems why I targeted teacher salaries is the starting salary is not very great. And maybe it's been enhanced a little bit in recent years so that they have an incentive to hire teachers, but many salary schedules have been collapsed. You know, through the negotiations process from the school board side, they've taken out the incentive to allow teachers to earn a high salary close to that $50,000 mark. I talked to two teachers this past weekend. I hate to use secondhand information, but both of them had taught for 17 years, one in Hanson County and one in Spearfish. Both of them are making $31,000. Now, the one in Hanson County is making a little bit more because he had some coaching jobs on the side. Both of them love teaching. They enjoy the profession. The one in Hanson is not married, doesn't have a family or children to support. The one in Spearfish, quite frankly, told me the only way she could afford to teach is that she married a rich rancher. That's not the case for everybody out there. I don't believe this is going to kick in. It won't kick in now, but this is something down the road, maybe next year or the year after, that could provide a bonus incentive for our teachers, many of whom haven't received a salary increase over the last 4 years, and many have seen their earnings being eroded away due to increased premiums for health care insurance that are deducted from their paycheck. For those reasons, Mr. Chair, I ask you to vote for this bill, and I'll be available for questions.
Thank you, Representative. Are there any other proponents for House Bill 1225? Any other proponents for House Bill 1225? Are there any opponents for House Bill 1225? Greetings. Would you introduce yourself to the committee and the internet listeners, please?
Absolutely. Good morning or good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Tammy Darnell with the Department of Education. And as I sat here and listened to Representative Lucas's testimony of what his vision is and the way we read the bill and the way it would actually work are two different things. And the way it's written, House Bill 1225 would increase the transfers out of the Education Enhancement Trust Fund, but it would basically erode all of the purchasing power that has been established in the trust fund since the inception, as the bill transfers out any amounts above up and above the inflation rate. What the bill does, the way we read, is it specifies the principal will only be adjusted beginning in 2012. So we go back to that original principal balance and adjust it for 2012. So what you would do is erode that 9 years of purchasing power that we've built up. Based on the expected long rate return of 7% on this fund, and assuming that inflation averages 3%, this bill would allow an estimated $2.9 million in FY14, $9.8 million in 15, $7.9 million in 16, and $2.6 million in FY17 to be spent on the new Teacher Compensation Enhancement Program. After FY17, there would be no transfers available, as the market value of the trust fund would now be below the inflation-adjusted principal balance, and no transfers would be available. So the way we see this, this program would be funded for a few years, and then there would be no more funding because after you made that inflation, everything would have caught up. So the bill is unsustainable over the long term. Over the long term, using realistic returns and inflation expectations, there would be no money left for the TCAP program. It would simply give a windfall for 3 or 4 years, and then there would be no money available. As I stated earlier, in addition, this bill erodes the principal balance and will distribute additional earnings for a few years. By FY2020, the fair value of the trust fund would be eroded by $28.9 million, and the normal distribution from the fund would be about $1 million lower than the current practice. So again, you would be eroding that power of distribution in future years. It makes no sense to set up this distribution as it's set up in House Bill 1225, as it pretty much guarantees there will be no funding for the TCAP programming, and for these reasons, I ask you to oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Darnell. Any other opponents of House Bill 1225? Any other opponents of House Bill 1225? Representative Lucas, would you like to make a closing comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just say that I did run this language by the Investment Council, and while Matt Clark has no position on this bill, it does do what I said it would do. It will still provide for a 4% distribution to the general fund without invading the principal in those years that it's above four, you know, that it's earning money. Now, obviously, in those 2 years there where there was a negative because of the recession, it did not produce anything to the general fund. It will still do that each year. And then, in addition, it still allows for 3% inflationary growth over a 16-quarter period. And that, I believe, is defined on the second page in lines 6 through 8. Their inflationary growth as determined by the South Dakota Investment Council. That's still in there. The only way there'd be any money going into this Teacher Compensation Enhancement Fund would be if both of those two criteria are met. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. This time I would open up for committee questions. Representative Bolin.
Thank you. A question for main sponsor. Is it accurate, Representative Lucas, that you're setting up a pretty high bar before any money can be transferred out of this particular trust fund? Would that be an accurate statement?
Mr. Chair, yes, that would, Representative Bolin. I believe this is conservative and it's sound. The only way we would use this, if the fund continues to do exceptionally well like it has in the past 2 years, it would probably take another year or two for that to kick in to where it would be have a 7% annualized earning over 16 quarters.
Follow up, go ahead.
And, of course, that's assuming that things are going to that the investments will continue to be good as they are now, and would it also be accurate to say that the high levels that we have here in FY11 and FY2010, are those high because the baseline went way down in 2009? Would that be accurate?
Mr. Chair, no, I don't believe that's an accurate statement. I think that it's a reflection of what the stock market and the bond market did in those calendar years.
Okay.
And also the wise investment from the Investment Council. Now, we have a contract that we phased out that we've used with Wall Street experts so that they can, you know how it is. If you're going to make money, you got to be with the players that are right on Wall Street, right on the ground level there. And we've been able to do that with the Investment Council. We have the highest rate of return among all the 50 states. It's because we have the people on Wall Street to give us the sound advice.
Representative Bowen.
Thank you. One more follow-up. So would it also be accurate to say that if the stock market did poorly and the investments, the decisions of the Investment Council did not show a high rate of growth, then there would be nothing transferred from the fund? Would that be accurate for this program?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. That's why this is set up as bonuses. It's not put in as continuing money of any sort. It would only be there in those years when things are doing exceptionally well.
Any further questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Carson.
Who's going to administrate the bonuses?
Mr. Chair, this would be the calculation would be done by the Investment Council according to the proposed language. The monies would go to the school districts on the last section there of the bill based upon the numbers of certified teachers they have. So section 2 would outline how that goes. So if it's whatever the school district has, that number of certified teachers, first of all, they would look at the total amount of monies above the 7%. That would be divided by the number of teachers in the state, and then each district that has that X number of teachers would receive a check based upon that. Then it's up to the school district and the teachers to negotiate how that's distributed.
Follow up.
Did I answer your question?
Any other questions by the committee members? Representative Dennard.
Representative Lucas, I'm trying to get a little bit of a handle on this, and I haven't had the time or don't know if I got the capabilities to figure out. You made a statement, and then Ms. Darnell made some statements on it would only work for a few years. As I look at the handout on the first page, the column to your right, the second paragraph, the third line says that today that fund should have $408,409,000 in it to have the inflation-adjusted amount. And as I look at the bottom of the page, there's $391,000 in the account as of June 30th. So today, as you stated, I think that there would be nothing available at this time?
Yes.
If I might continue, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
If I take the $391,000 and I didn't have a calculator, and sometimes the math gets off, but if I take that $391,000 and take it times 107%, because there's going to be a 4% distribution and a 3% growth, I come up with about $419,000 would be the adjusted amount, I think, that it'd have to be again there before any amount would be paid out. Am I going down the right lane? So you think maybe next year, the year after, if we have good growth, that it could be above that 419, so there'd be some money available?
Mr. Chair, again, it'd be over the last 16 quarters, the last 4 years, not the entire history of the fund, just the last 4 years.
Thank you, and I expected that answer, the 4 years, and of course them 2 bad years are going to carry for a little while, so I would anticipate there might not be anything available for quite some time if you keep plugging in the inflationary, the 3%, but just to get it clear in my mind, I would predict that it probably wouldn't put anything out for quite a few years until we get by them 2 bad years, but thank you.
Further questions? Seeing none, I would open up for comments, discussion on the bill. Any comments or points of discussion? Representative Boland.
Thank you. Well, to me, it seems like we're setting up a real high bar. It's like we're setting up a program that says you'll get something if you run the 4 minute if you can run the 4 minute mile, and I don't see anything wrong with it if you can't if the bar is extremely high, and it's highly likely that it's not going to be achieved or it would be very difficult. I see it sort of as a fail-safe thing that there's nothing wrong with it. Thank you.
Further discussion? Well, I'm going to ask you to resist this. I think there's some good ideas here, but I think that right now we have an education initiative going forth through both chambers this year, and I think there's going to be parts of it that probably are going to touch on and having funds toward what this would be called the TCAP situation. So I think it's I'm going to take a wait and see attitude and so on, and then with the opponents saying that this may not be sustainable in the way it's being presented, I think that I would ask you to resist the motion or the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Carson.
I'm also going to resist this with the ballot issue that's coming up this fall. I don't know exactly how it will fit into it, and I think that it's one of those situations where I would recommend we sit and wait and see what happens.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative White.
I would also resist this based on Mr. Nail's testimony that these funds would dry up, basically, and that's enough caution for me to resist this bill.
Thank you. Any other comments? Representative Dennert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I kind of fell through some questions, and I don't know how to feel on this legislation today. Personally, it appears that the bar is very high, and then yet I do have some concern. Any dollar we take out of that principal and accumulated, the 3% accumulation or growth, it does not earn for the future disbursement of 4%, you know, of the 16-quarter average. So I've got misgivings in that. And yet I look at it as the bar is quite high, and maybe someday it would return some money to the teachers at a bonus plan. I do not really want to tie this legislation with the ballot initiative because I think it's two separate issues, in my estimation. So I'm still mixed in how I'm going to do on the vote, but we'll see when the time comes.
Further comments? Seeing none, I would call for committee action.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Carson.
I'd move House Bill 1225 to the 41st day.
There's a motion and a second on the floor to move House Bill 1225 to the 41st day. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, the Secretary will call the vote.
Dennert.
Pass.
Wismer.
No.
Bolin.
No.
Ramkema.
Aye.
Dryden.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Dielstra. Carson.
Yes.
Wink.
Aye.
Dennert.
No.
5 yeas, 3 nays, 1 excused.
Motion passes. That takes care of our calendar for this afternoon. We will meet Thursday morning to, Secretary, how many bills do we have about left?
Friday.
Thursday.
Mr. Chair, I move that approve the minutes of January 22nd for your approval.
Representative White, on page 2 of those minutes, paragraph 3, can you explain that to us?
All I can say is that your executive assistant did an excellent job.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to move the minutes of January 26th, is it? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes. Representative Ramkema, are you ready to move the minutes for January or February 2nd?
No, I was going to
work ready. You're not quite ready. Okay, cool. We'll hold off on that. Okay. Any other items for discussion that we need to go over? Okay, I would move, entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Stand adjourned.